This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Angeline Tay, and Arvind Yuvaraj. Guess what? It's pretty sunny today.
Yeah, and you said that yesterday, you said the weather forecasts are not always accurate. And you were right. It's actually bright and sunny today. anyway, before we start our stories for the day, you know how it's always difficult to get for social enterprises in Malaysia to raise funds, right? Well, good news is Sekolah Fund is the first social enterprise in Malaysia to successfully raise funds on equity crowdfunding platform via ETA Plus. They've raised a total of 300,000 ringgit in exchange for 10% equity stake.
And I'm actually really happy about this news because it just shows that there are investors out there who look beyond the financial returns. I remember speaking to Shakir Hashim, he's the co-founder, exactly a year ago, and he shared that it was really difficult to raise funds, especially when you have to label, you know, as a social enterprise. So kudos to Sekolah Fund. All right, let's move on to our stories. It turns out that there might actually be money in VR hardware.
Yeah, I don't know why this was even a dilemma, because if you've ever put on a pair of PlayStation VR goggles, you know just how immersive that experience can be. So since going on sale just 4 months ago, Sony has sold 915,000 of its virtual reality headsets. When they first launched, their internal goal was to hit 1 million headsets in the first 6 months. So I guess you can say that Sony is hitting the target with ease.
The PlayStation VR, which the company released in October, works with the company's PS4 console. And Sony announced in December that the company has sold more than 50 million of the console. Compared to competing products from Facebook's Oculus and HTC, the PSVR is a relative bargain. While Oculus charges 599 ringgit, and just now we heard right now it's
4.45. Yeah.
I don't know the math, but yeah,
I don't want to convert. Yeah. So I don't want to know.
Yeah, so okay, Oculus charges $599 for its Rift headset, and HTC charges $799 for its virtual reality system.
Wow.
So I guess Sony's PSVR system and controllers are available for just $499, with the kicker being the other systems require high-end gaming PC.
Yeah, in a virtual reality market where headset adoption numbers are leaving many investors with cold feet and many founders with nervous swallows, these numbers perhaps spell a brighter future for consumer like mid-tier VR, which doesn't require high-end gaming PCs but instead relies on the brains of gaming consoles.
Yeah, HTC and Oculus have yet to release sales data from their headsets, though most analysts pin the sales to both well below 500,000 devices sold. But guess what? LG announced yesterday that they are planning to unveil its first virtual reality prototype at this year's Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So more players are coming into this space. We just wanted to give you a quick update on that. And now let's move on to another quick update on China's Twitter clone, Weibo.
Okay, so yeah, this is just a quick update on Weibo's growth in China. I think it's no surprise that Twitter is going through a tough time. They are struggling to keep up with users, and they've also become so commercialized that regular people just don't find it interesting anymore.
Yeah, everyone actually thought that Twitter would get a boost during the US elections because everything was Trump tweeted this or Clinton tweeted that, and it looked like people would flock onto the platform to see what was going on. But they didn't.
Yeah, they actually lost a bunch of users in early 2016, which is worse than people just not signing up for new accounts because they're actually losing numbers right now.
The thing is, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's very commercialized. Mm-hmm. Because if you compare Twitter to China's Twitter clone, Weibo, you can see that the design and user interface is usually not the problem. In fact, Weibo is actually tracking to have more users than Twitter by the end of next month. So they now have about 313 million active users each month versus 319 million on Twitter. So this is what, six million difference there,
just 6 million,
right?
Yeah,
and Weibo is actually growing extremely fast, so there's no doubt they will be bigger than Twitter very, very soon.
Yeah, and just to get things straight, there's zero overlap between Twitter and Weibo's user base because Twitter is blocked in China, so they're not really competing with one another. It's just that we can compare Twitter's growth with Weibo because they work the same way. The only difference is that Weibo built better communication channels between users and avoided becoming like a one-way soapbox for celebrities and companies and politicians. And now even more people are using Weibo because it has live streaming.
They also have very similar strong competition, Twitter versus Facebook and Weibo versus WeChat.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, money talks, and right now Weibo is actually worth more than Twitter at about $13 billion US dollars versus Twitter's $11.4 billion. US dollars.
Yeah, sometimes we make it sound so dramatic, like Twitter is suffering with, you know, 11.4 billion US dollars. Maybe Twitter can learn from Weibo and come, you know, back really strong. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about Stayzilla, which is India's version of Airbnb, and they are, you know, closing down their service. And that's up next, Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angie and Arvin. 6 years ago, a company called Stayzilla was founded. They are like the Airbnb for homestays. It sounded like a great idea then because they managed to raise $34 million from investors, including a $20 million Series B in 2015. However, they are closing their service.
Yeah, and CEO and co-founder Yogendra Vasupal explained in a blog post that they are now taking the time to pause and reboot. The company actually reached a network of over 50,000 accommodation spots across 900,000 towns in India. They even clinched deals with local government tourism organizations, but it looks like they've just run out of money.
Yeah, their financial situation was likely tight because Stayzilla didn't raise anything like the war chest of other similar businesses of digitizing accommodation, right? For example, Oyo Rooms, which operates a network of budget hotels, they pulled in close to $190 million from backers.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of money, but even Oyo Rooms is facing tight margins. Tech in Asia first noted that both companies, Stayzilla and Oyo Rooms, generated $2 million in revenue during the last financial year. But Oyo's losses were higher at $52 million versus Stayzilla's $14 million. But Oyo Rooms has the financial cushion to, you know, like sort of absorb them.
Mm. Then there's also the giant, like, Airbnb, mm-hmm. which has increased its focus on the Indian market. So, you know, the Indian media had reported that Stayzilla was keen to raise $40 million last year, but things, you know, don't quite go to according to plan as it closed a $13 million Series C from existing backers in May, and nothing more since then.
Yeah, and Vasupal was, like, very reflective in his post, explaining how, as a founder, his own objectives were altered as the company ramped up. He said that the initial 7 years were all about having negative working capital and positive cash flow and a sustainability to fund their own growth. Those were the only metrics they tracked. But then in the last 3 to 4 years, Vasupal confessed that he's lost his path. He started treasuring GMV and room nights and other vanity metrics instead of the fundamentals of cash flow and working capital.
I take this as a proper lesson to other startups to really look at their metrics and focus on just the fundamentals, right? Mm-hmm. Vasupal also mentioned that the size of the company was reduced from 600 to 200, but ultimately it was too late to avoid the inevitable.
Yeah, and the same actually happened to Snapdeal in 2016. Their valuations were slashed, mass firings took place, and the startup Tigers began to hibernate. They said the same thing, that GMV isn't the right metrics to look at. Anyway, back to Stayzilla. In the end, market education and demand creation eventually drained their resources.
And what Stayzilla did is investing on both sides of the marketplace, right? So they actually create homestays as well as guests who would choose a homestay across the country. So they, you know, all in together, they've created 8,000 homestays in over 900 towns. But that's actually what stretched them thin.
Yeah, but there's a small silver lining, because this is not the end. The founder believes that there is a future for Stayzilla if they are able to pivot to the demands of the audiences. He now understands more about their hosts that face with problems that are unsolved. So Vasupal foresees Stayzilla becoming a hassle-free distribution channel going out to the right audience, and wants to work closely with online and offline travel partners to offer the best of Indian homestays.
Mm. And I do appreciate that Vasupal actually wrote this long reflective post about his experience. Mm-hmm. This honest account of running a business would eventually actually, you know, help other founders and not make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
And you can check out his article on our podcast later when we upload at bfm.my. We're taking a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Traveler's Box. Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Bemused football managers, BFM 89.9.
You're still on Enterprise Biz Bytes with Angie and Arvin. Now, that story before the break about Stayzilla was a downer. So let's move on to some good news. If you're traveling through Changi Airport and have spare change, you can now put that to use with a service called Traveler's Box.
Yeah, and Traveler's Box is apparently very successful in Tokyo and Manila. And now they want to expand their footprint in Asia with new kiosks now available in Singapore. So basically, passengers traveling through Singapore's Changi Airport can use their unneeded foreign change by using the new Traveler's Box kiosks located in the airport.
Okay, here's some backstory on Traveler's Box. It's a fintech company that helps travelers convert their leftover foreign currency, including bills and coins, into digital money with favorite e-wallet brands like PayPal and Baidu, or e-gift cards via iTunes, JD.com, Grab, Tokopedia, you know, and so on, and even Facebook, actually. They may also make a contribution to the Changi Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of the Changi Airport Group that supports youth community efforts or charities such as Red Cross. I guess this way, the money that would otherwise be kept in a jar of mixed coins and bills is now a value again.
Yeah, and of course, this service looked at Changi Airport because they'll be able to offer this useful service to over 58 million passengers who pass through the airport every year. So it makes total sense. These Travelers Box kiosks were installed in Changi Airport back in mid-December. And then in that short amount of time, there was about four times more transactions in Singapore than in the next best performing airport.
Wow, 58 million passengers,
yeah.
Right?
So and of course, Singapore.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I was just thinking, like, if $1 per person, it's 58 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised, actually. Asia is one of the fastest growing regions in the world, with the rising middle class who are traveling more, both within the region and globally, which keeps opening up the market to services like Traveler's Box to come in and take a chunk of the pie.
Yeah. The story of how Traveler's Box was conceptualized is actually an interesting one because it comes from an actual everyday problem. When founder Thomas Zussman found himself with his pockets full of change each time he returned from his regular work trips to New York, he would often forget to bring the coins on his next trip. And when he started to count the coins, he realized that he would usually accumulate an average of about $10 to $15 each time. So on doing further market study, he found that on average, a tourist actually carries about $20 worth of loose change, which is quite a lot of money for just, you know, like spare change in your pocket. And with 1.5 billion travelers a year, he realized that this was an untapped market of potentially $30 billion every year.
That's huge.
Yeah.
He also tried to work with banks and credit card companies, but they were uninterested in micropayments. So Tomer thought he could partner with e-wallets and e-gift card merchants. Mm-hmm. And once this was done, he founded the firm together with Aidan Deshe to capitalize on this market gap.
Yeah, it just goes to show that there's always a gap in the market that can be filled with the right service. You just need to know what that gap is. If you want to find out more about Traveler's Box, you can check out traverslesbox.com.
All right, we've come to the end of our show, and it's time to wrap up today's Biz Bytes. We opened the show with a story on Sony exceeding expectations with the sale of 915,000 VR headsets since going on sale just 4 months ago. When they first launched, their internal goal is to hit 1 million headsets in the first 6 months, but 915,000 means Sony is hitting the target really easily.
Mm-hmm. Good for Sony. We also spoke about China's Twitter clone Weibo, and they will have more users than the actual Twitter by the end of March. There's no competition here, but maybe Twitter can learn a thing or two from its clone on how to be less commercialized for celebrities and politicians and more focused on just regular users.
Then we did a story on the unfortunate closure of StayZilla in India, which is basically their version of Airbnb for homestays that launched 6 years ago. The company actually reached a network of 50,000 accommodations across 900 towns in India, but that number wasn't enough in a country as massive as India. And with Airbnb coming in, StayZilla had to pause and maybe think of rebooting with a new game plan.
Mm-hmm. And then we also covered one last story on Traveler's Box opening its services in Singapore last December and how it's doing extremely well so far. Traveler's Box is a service for passengers that have spare change in foreign currency and want to utilize them while passing through airports. It's also available in Tokyo and Manila, but no news yet on if it's coming here in Malaysia, which I think would be a pretty cool service to have.
And remember, if you join this Meetway, you can catch all the stories again by streaming us on the BFM app, available on the Apple App Store and also on Google Play. Trust us, it's super convenient to use.
It is. Coming up next is the Breakfast Grill replay. On the show today is Dato' Mazlan Junaid, CEO of property turn oil and gas player Enra Group Berhad. He speaks about how Enra Group is making inroads into the industry with its latest JV to produce low-cost solutions and service with the upstream sector.
Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at noon for the latest SME and tech news from around the world. This is Angeline Tay and Arvin Uraj, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.